Hey, good morning.
What is happening? How's everybody doing?
Good morning to folks who are streaming this live. My name is Brandon Pendleton. I'm one of the volunteers here on the teaching team and also serve on the New Hope leadership team. Before we get into the message, some of you may be aware, some of you may not be, but there were recent shootings that happened, one within El Paso, Texas, as well as one within Dayton, Ohio last night. So I want to take a moment to pray for folks there, and then we'll get it popping with the message. Father, thank you for just all of us being here. Thank you, God, for you being sovereign and nothing getting past you. Father, I just lift up our folks in Dayton, Ohio, and El Paso, Texas, and the families and friends who are affected by God by this tragedy, and just ask your strength, your comfort. I ask for unity, for wisdom, for all involved and who have the ability to make a significant impact. And Lord, even in the midst of this, I pray that for those who are followers of you, that their trust and reliance on you will not wane. And God, even at greater level, Lord God, may you shine, Lord, in that, as scripture says, that you will be able to use this, Lord, to make a significant impact for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So we're talking about faith, and I love that song, Oceans, that the worship team just led us in, and that's something that I continue to think about in my life, and specifically living in the D.C. metro area. I remember some time ago when I was talking to Adoee, and Adoee, she's my wife, and next week we'll celebrate 14 years of marriage. We've been together for about 17 years. And one of the things I remember talking to her about 5 years ago was when she wanted to start her business in the area. And just trying to be a good steward, trying to be someone who, could just support her effort as her husband and what she wanted to do. I remember telling her, I said, well, if you're going to start your business, you know, we're going to have to move someplace south because, girl, the price tag up here. We kind of need to make sure that if this venture doesn't go well, that I will be able to sustain and hold you. And I remember telling her, I said, the only way you will be able to have your business up, we'll be able to do your business here, is if God does something. I remember it specifically. And it was almost like God was just sitting there waiting for me to utter those words. Because in my heart, I felt him say something like, check. That's exactly where I want you, in this place of faith, of total reliance on me, in this space where you don't make the mistake of thinking because you got these different abilities and skills or you got some extra dough in your pocket that you think you can do this on your own. So that being said, faith, walking in faith, faith is essentially, as we see here on the screen here, is just a belief, it's a confidence, there's a trust, it's a reliance, full reliance. That's what faith is. Hebrews 11:1 says it something like this. It says, what is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it up ahead. I remember a poem that I read in one of my one of these books, these men of the Bible type books. And there was a poem that says something that defines faith as something like, nothing before me, nothing behind me, stepping on seeming void, meaning nothing there, just to find the rock beneath. That faith is just this thing that holds and sustains. It is again that component, that confidence that what I've heard, what I know, is going to always come through. And so with faith, faith doesn't just happen out of the blue. Faith has to be to get what's called faith. It comes through a series of messages. It starts with hearing it for the first time, and then over time you hear a very similar message or complementary messages along the way that allows it to grow. Another way of saying is that faith is conceived and is nurtured by messages. I remember being a kid growing up in church and my mom would take us, and I'm the youngest of four, so we would go to church, and I would sit beside my mother, and I would get in trouble every once in a while, too, during these services. This is when church, when back in church, you know, everybody was in the auditorium. You didn't have this youth church or whatever. Everybody go their little sections. Everybody was in the same auditorium. And I remember I would love the choir part of it. I would love everything that was going on. But when the message would come, that was my time to take a nap. And I used to fall asleep, but I would get little components here or there. My mom would give me little little challenges like, hey, can you tell me one thing about the sermon that you heard that you like? So in hearing, so in that, we would consistently go into church on Sundays. And so I kept hearing a very consistent message where my faith began to grow. Well, I grew to a point where then a desire of mine came where I wanted to start attending Bible studies. So on top of going to church on Sundays, I want to go to church on traditionally as known as on Wednesday nights for Bible studies. So now I'm hearing the sermon. Now I'm hearing the same message. I'm hearing it on Sunday and I'm hearing it on Wednesday. And then it grows to a place where I want to now not only hear it on Sunday and on Wednesday, but I also want to read it for myself at home. So I'm breaking the Bible up in between my attendance at church, and my faith is growing. So faith, it starts. It's conceived in messages. If you're familiar with folk music or folk songs and folklore, you know, one of the things that my wife in her studies she shared with me was that folklore was a methodology of communicating truth in history over time. If certain things weren't written down, you know, you had these songs, and these songs would talk about key points of life to the point where people in society who would partake or participate in these songs, they would learn so much of that truth. Faith, conceived and nurtured by messages. Romans 10, verses 5 through 17 say it like this. It's, for Moses writes that the law's way of making a person right with God requires obedience to all its commands. But faith's way of getting right with God says, don't say in your heart, who will go up to heaven to bring Christ down to earth? And don't say, who will go down to the place of the dead to bring Christ back to life? In fact, faith says, it says, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Faith conceived and nurtured by messages. And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. But not everyone welcomes the good news. For Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Jesus Christ. And that is why for those of us who are followers of Jesus, our testimonies about what God has done in our faith walk with him in Christ, that's why our testimonies are so important. I remember growing up in church, they used to have these things called testimony service. And where people will be, you know, praising God and lifting them up. You got different praise dances, the choir singing, and or praise and worship leaders. And then there'll always be like a microphone in front for anyone in the congregation just to get up, walk up, and just take about what's called, you know, they say a popcorn testimony, which is supposed to happen before 2 to 3 minutes. But they get an opportunity to share the goodness of the Lord and what God is doing for them actively in their lives. The message, faith being conceived and nurtured by messages. Our testimonies are a testament, is a truth, a reality about what God is doing in our life based upon our full reliance and trust in him. First Peter says it this way in 1 Peter 3:15. It says, honoring Jesus as Lord in your hearts, always being prepared to give an answer for the hope you have, and communicate the message with gentleness and respect for the listener. But the reality of the matter is this. As much as there are great testimonies and good views and truths about Jesus and what helps people grow in a greater faith, unfortunately, there are some bad examples. It depends on the lens, and it depends on, you know, how it's communicated. In particular, for example, it's this whole perspective of the prosperity gospel. And don't get me wrong, that is biblical. God has called us to prosper. But the challenge is when we start putting these things in this little box and thinking that, you know, that means I'm supposed to have millions of dollars, player. Or I'm supposed to have this, or I'm supposed to have that. No, that's not what that means. But if that's all you're hearing, unfortunately, that can really skew and mess up the whole thing about what it is to be a true follower of Jesus. So we have to be careful. It's important for us as followers of Jesus also to spend time in the Word of God. People like Pastor Rusty and great authors who are out there, it's wonderful. Everyone has a purpose in the kingdom of God to fulfill and to do what God has called them to do. So they play their role. But God also told us in Scripture that His plan had always been for His word to be written in our hearts and on our minds, which is for us to know Him intimately and personally. So as followers of Jesus, we got to make sure we're carving out that time, family, to get with the Lord and His word and let His word speak to us. And it doesn't necessarily mean you got to get, you know, a version of the Bible you don't understand, because it's not about that. The Bible says in all our getting, get understanding. So find you a scripture, find you a version of the Bible that fits you. Because I'm trying to tell you, man, if I found me a hip hop Bible, don't you know how that would change my life? I'll be like, what? And somebody's saying, instead of God saying, I am that I am, I can hear God, the hip hop Bible will say something like this. I am gangsta because I'm God. You know, something like that. Wouldn't that be dope? So yeah, find a version of the Bible that fits you, you know, and God will continue to grow your faith in that space. It matters. Here's another element of faith to consider, which is that faith leads to and is proven by actions. Faith leads to and is proven by actions. There are two people in the Bible that come to mind for me, and that's Abraham and Peter. And so for those who may not be familiar with the story of Abraham, Abraham was known to be God's friend. But here's the funny thing about Abraham. Abraham had this situation where he and his wife had no kids for many years. His wife was barren, and she couldn't produce a child. Until God pulled Abraham to the side and said, hey, brother, guess what? I'm going to bless you and your wife with a child. And Abraham was like, okay, God, that's cool, but do you do realize there's a limitation that we have going on right here? Because when God approached Abraham, he was like in his mid to late 70s. And his wife, she's about 10 years older than him, so that means she was in her mid to late 60s. And he's like, God, you do realize the plumbing we have is not operational, right? And God's like, I got you. And so at the age of 100 for him, and at the age of 90 for her, they had their son. And here's where God began to, but here's the funny thing about the story. God blessed him with this child because God's purpose in that was to make Abraham a father of many nations. That's what he told him. That was the promise. That was the message. And that was the belief that Abraham held on to. But then God threw what might be viewed as some as a wrench in the plan. Abraham's doing his thing, taking care of his son, his family. And God pulls Abraham aside. He says, hey, bro, guess what? I got something I want you to do. You know that blessing I gave you, that son? Yeah, I want you to sacrifice him. And in my mind's eye, I'm like, well, Abraham was human. So I'm like, I could see him just being perplexed. The God that I say I trust and I rely fully on is now giving me an instruction that is very painful and very difficult for me to process. So what does Abraham do? he obeys. So Abraham takes his servants and his son, Isaac, and I believe Isaac around the time is about maybe 11 or 12 years old. And so they're getting ready to go and they're getting the wood together. And I can imagine the more he thinks about it, the more perplexed and stressed he becomes. He gets a little tense. I can even see sometimes him wiping his eyes. And on their journey there, or as they're preparing to go, Isaac looks to his dad. He said, "Hey, Dad, we got all the stuff for the sacrifice, the wood, but where's the lamb?" And I can just see Abraham in that moment just closing his eyes or just cringing. And he just says, "The Lord will provide." So he goes, he takes his son, and they're at the mountain, and they build the altar. And then I can see Abraham taking his son and laying him on the altar and now starting to bind him. And I can see Isaac just looking at him like, "Dad, what are you doing? You're sacrificing." Like, I can just see them just making eye contact. And if Abraham can read if he can read his son's mind through his eyes, I can see Isaac basically saying to his dad, "Dad, I'm the sacrifice? Me?" And so scripture says he ties him down to the altar, and then he goes to reach for the knife. And as he gets ready to go kill this son, God speaks and says, "Abraham, Abraham. No, I was testing you. I was testing you to see if you would still trust me through all things, if you would remain faithful." And then God blessed that there was a ram in the bush, and Abraham and his son, they sacrificed that ram that's in the bush. Peter, some of you may not be familiar with Peter. Peter was one of them dudes who used to hang with Jesus in the group that we call the disciples. And Peter was one of them cats, man. He was one of the dudes who kind of spoke his mind. And they were together in this one situation where Jesus had just, fed a lot of people with a little bit of food. And so Jesus tells the disciples, he says, "Hey, guys, I'm going to go spend some time with God and pray. But what I want y'all to do, I want y'all to go across, the lake, and I'll meet you all on the other side." And they're like, "Okay, Jesus, cool. We'll see you in the morning, man." Well, while they're going across on the water, the wind starts to pick up, a storm comes, and the waves are starting to crash into the water. And, these men who are on this boat, they're starting to get a little nervous and scared. And the Bible tells us that what happens is they begin to see this image of a man walking, like coming towards them on the water. And they're scared. They're like, "Is this a ghost? Is this what? What is this?" And so Jesus calms it all down. He says, "Hey, yo, what's up, fellas? It's me." And then Peter's like, "Jesus, if it's you, hey man, ask me to get out of this boat and come walk to you as well." And Jesus just basically says, "Hey man, come." And so Peter, I can just see Peter now. So the boat, now mind you, the wind is still, going. So I can see them in the boat rocking and reeling. And Peter's like, "Okay, cool, let me get out of this boat." And he just takes a step. And as soon as he takes a step, he finds solid ground that he's walking on, as he's focused on Jesus. We're talking about faith. Faith leading and is proven by actions, that what I believe, what I rely on, leads me to based on that basis, my faith and my trust in the Lord leads me to this place to do X and to do Y. Between the two stories, I always have this question in my mind, is like, what things from an Abraham perspective, what things in our life or in our lives could God have blessed us with, and we're truly thankful for, and we've trusted and relied on him, but what things could God literally be saying to us? "Hey, that thing there, you say you trust and rely on me, I want you to sacrifice that thing." What things could God be wanting us to lay on the altar, to ensure, be testing us like he did Abraham, to be testing us specifically just to see, do we truly trust and rely on him in all things? In the Peter situation, I wonder, what things in our life could God be calling us to that requires us to get out of the box of our boat, if you will? And God be saying, "Yeah, come to me. I'm here. Focus on me." It's funny because Hebrews says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. So our faith does not even exist without him.
So those things that God is calling us to, those things in our lives that we may have a particular bent to, some things that we may want to get engaged and involved in to make a positive impact. But you know what? We're a little nervous or a little scared because it may change my salary. It may require a little less sleep. It may require a little inconvenience. But yet still, God is calling us, come. What are those things in our lives? James 2 says it like this. It says, dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? For instance, you come upon an old friend dressed in rags and half-starved and say, good morning, friend. Be clothed in Christ. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and walk off without providing much as a coat or a cup of soup. Where does that get you? Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageously nonsense? I can already hear one of you agreeing by saying, sounds good. You take care of the faith department, I'll handle the works department. Not so fast. You can no more show me your works apart from your faith than I can show you my faith apart from my works. Faith and works and faith fit together hand in glove. Do I hear you professing to believe in one? Do I hear you professing to believe in the one and only God, but then observe your complacency sitting back as if you had done something wonderful? That's great. Demons do that. But what does it do? But what good does it do them? Use your heads. Do you suppose for a minute that you can cut faith and works into and not end up with a corpse on your hands? Wasn't our ancestor Abraham made right with God by works when he placed his son Isaac on the sacrificial altar? Isn't it obvious that faith and works are yoke partners? That faith expresses itself in works? That the works are works of faith? The meaning of believe in the scripture sentence, Abraham believed God and was set right with God, includes his action. It's that mesh of believing and acting that got Abraham named God's friend. Is it not evident that a person is made right with God not by a barren faith, but by faith fruitful in works? The same with Rahab, the Jericho harlot. Wasn't her action in hiding God's spies and helping them escape that seamless unity of believing and doing what counted with God? The very moment you separate body and spirit, you end up with a corpse. Separate faith and works, and you get the same thing, a corpse. Faith and works, my actions, my activities, they go together. One of the things about walking with Christ, and one of the mistakes I think that, you know, I know I've made at times, especially early on in my faith, is making this mistake of thinking that my faith means that I'm on easy street, that everything should come to me with no problems, I should be good to go. You know, everything is just always spot on, you know, butterflies and rainbows and all that stuff in my life. But that's not the reality. Faith is not the absence of challenges, nor is it the promise of an easy life. Rather, the testing of faith is for our benefit. It's not the absence of challenges. And I have so many examples in my life where God has shown me, and the one that resonates so highly with me is the fact that is this year when my wife and I lost my father-in-law in January. And it was unexpected. And we knew his health wasn't the best, but our understanding was he was following everything the doctors had told him, and he was going through his checkups and all that stuff. But when he had a severe heart attack, and we knew he had congestive heart failure and things, but when we got the call, and for us, we're one of the few who still have a house phone. And so the funny thing about it is, for us, when we receive phone calls on our house phone at 3 a.m, we always know it's not good. It's been that way consistently. So and we're still mourning that process.
or that experience. And we lost him in mid to late January, and it was devastating, devastating blow to the family, devastating for our kids. But that's a hard road, right? That's a challenge for us, because I've never experienced the level of grief. I've never seen my wife go through the grief that she went through with her father. I've never seen the pain she was carrying and just the raw, authentic feeling that she has still present that she's going through, and yet still she has the faith and reliance on God. Another example of challenging moments is when my wife, when she delivered our son, Josiah, and she's always had tough deliveries. She has great pregnancies, but tough deliveries. And there was a situation that happened for her where she lost a lot of blood, and she's anemic. But again, we followed what the doctors had told us post after delivery, and we went home. And we ended up a day or two, oh, maybe about 4 or 5 days later, having to call, 911. And she was admitted to the hospital because my wife was this close to her organs shutting down in her body because she had lost so much blood and she had some other complications. These are things I'm like, yo, God, I didn't sign up for this, man. I did not expect that to be my story. I did not expect me to have to experience that. This, I don't fully get it. But here's the thing about it is, the trials of our faith, it is for our benefits. And let me just slide this in here. Faith is not one of those things where we just walk through and we fake like we don't see reality. We do see what's going on, but my reliance, my truth, the truth that I hold, my confidence is in him, that he'll see me through it. In talking with Rusty, Rusty gave faith this kind of definition, which I appreciate. He was saying, faith in God gives us the capacity to deal with difficult circumstances and to persevere. John 16:33, Jesus says it like this: I have told you all this so that you will have peace of heart and mind. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but cheer up, for I have overcome the world. In James 1, verses 2 through 4, says it like this: Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, meaning nothing. Being mature, we grow in our maturity, our perspective, we grow in our maturity and our faith and our walk with God, we grow in our understanding of what it is to walk with him faithfully. We grow in a greater understanding of what it means that God truly is our provider and is someone we can put all, to use a poker analogy, he's one of those people that we can truly put all our chips on. We can put all our bets on him and he will always come through, even through the most difficult circumstances. So at its core, faith is fundamental to a relationship with God. It is the most basic, but it's the most critical piece to understanding that faith starts with faith in him, and that faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of God. That faith comes by hearing through the word of God, and that hearing leads to actions and activities and decisions being made of me deciding to yield my life to him in Christ and fully relying on him and what he offers. Hebrews 11:6 says this: It's impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists, that's the faith, must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. The belief leads to the action of seeking. And in seeking, we find so much in our purpose and what he planned for us in all that we do. So let me go ahead and wrap this up and make sense. No matter where we may be, for some folks, you may not be a follower of Jesus, and that's cool. I ain't mad at you. I love you.
And if you don't know him, that's cool. But you know, but one thing that's I believe that is one thing that every person in this world is after is truth. And so by the virtue of you being here, it's part of that journey of you finding out truth. And you're hearing these messages. And what I love about Jesus and about this whole Christian walk, he is so open to investigative report, to being investigated and scrutinized. He wants you to, because when you make that decision, he wants you to be committed for life. So that's to the folks who are not following Jesus. I really do believe that your presence is here for a purpose, and I'm so glad that you're here or streaming online. For those of us who are followers of Jesus, man, this faith thing, bottom line is our faith has to grow. Our total reliance on God and everything that we do, it has to grow. It's necessary for us to grow. Because like we talked about, don't forget that we are a reflection of him. It is our responsibility, our testimonials, the things that we share, whether you're at work or in the community, or at home or in church, wherever you go, in the grocery store, when you share your story of what God's done for you in your life, your faith and your relationship with Christ, that is a significant piece to someone getting an opportunity to know him. But for our faith to grow, family, we got to make sure we're spending time with him and his word, building that reliance. And in those areas that we may be, you know, that may be Isaac for us, those areas that we kind of cherish and hold tight, we got to rely on God enough that if he gave it to us, he'll also take care of us with it. So that's the challenge. And then for some of us too, in your heart, you may be going through a challenging season right now. Could be your marriage, could be anything, but you're asking God for help. He's bringing resources. He's bringing the things that you need, absolutely, because he loves you. He loves us. Rely on him enough to go through the process. Because remember, the trials of our faith, it's not about the destination. It's really about the journey, what he's doing in us along the road. I'm very thankful to be here, and I'm very thankful to be able to say to you, I'm actively in this season as well. There are specific things in my life right now where my faith, God is stretching me in my faith. And to keep it 100 with you, because that's what I love to do, you're my family. Standing before you right now is one of them. To serve at this capacity is one of them. Where I'm like, God, I know what you've called me to. I know what you're talking to me about. And God, I know you're growing me through different things. But God, it's uncomfortable. And God, I got a job. I got a family. I got this. I got all these different things. But God, I trust you. And I'm willing to get out of my boat, my box, to step on that water. And keep my eyes focused on you just to find out that I won't sink. So what is God calling you to, family, is what I'm asking. What is God calling you to step out the boat? And all he's asking you to do is keep your focus on him as you're out the boat, because you'll be guaranteed not to sink. Have faith and rely on him, fam. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. I thank you that it will accomplish that which you sent it out to do. God, we don't waste words. God, we don't come to you doubting you. We come to you being honest with our emotions, but at the end of the day, we throw ourselves at your feet, God, because we know if there's only one that we can truly put all our chips on, God, it's you. God, you are in control. And I'm so thankful for the fact that God, at the end of the day, and all that we experience, your track record with us, God, will remain flawless. Thank you for the purpose of testing of our faith. And thank you for the opportunities you give us to daily grow our faith in reliance on you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, family, I appreciate y'all taking a few minutes to listen to that, and I really encourage you, if you have a time, to grab a take-home sheet, and because there's some great things in the take-home sheet that I believe that really will help us kind of just sit back and evaluate, you know, just our lives and our faith journey, and it'll help us kind of even learn a little bit more about people in the Bible we didn't really know about,
And I'm sure it will add to you and really benefit you daily. So thank you again, fam. Love you. And Rusty, it's all yours, sir.
Yeah, make sure to